there's no doubt that we've heard from heaven already. When you look at the life of David and the tragedy of his life and then the triumph as he comes before the Lord and prays that wonderful prayer, and God literally done a work in his heart. That same God that moved in David's life wants to move in your life tonight. And I worked on this a few months ago, and the way the revival is gone, I could not get away from this, and I want to obey the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 15, go to verse 20. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. We dealt with the elder brother last night, and tonight we're going to look at the father. And Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the anointing that we've already sensed and that we've already experienced. Thank you for dealing with our hearts. Thank you for setting the stage. God, I've opened your divine book. I have read from heaven's divine library. God, I pray that I wouldn't preach a minute long or a minute short, but that I would convey the truth of the Word of God. If there's anybody lost, I pray that this would be the night that you would convict them of their sin. God, that the door, the back door, would seem miles and miles away, and the altar would look so near. And that some man, some lady, some boy or girl would confess they're a sinner in need of a Savior. God, we know that people have pushed back the plate. People have prayed and people have believed God to save sinners. Would you save a man, a lady, a boy or a girl? Do something on this Wednesday night that only you can do. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated. If you like to write down what the man of God preaches, for the next few moments, I'm going to preach the heart of the Father. I'm preaching the heart of the Father. You say, Derek, how are you going to address the heart of the Father? When I began to study this passage of the prodigal that had left home, and then look at the father, Brother Jason Hutzel, I am convinced by the character and the conduct of this father toward his rebellious son. We find out what lives in the heart of the father. Would you agree with me that the father loves you? Would you agree with me, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, no matter what lifestyle you're in, there's a God that loves you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He just loves you. And then when God began to put this little sermon in my heart, I begin to see some things about the Father's heart that I had never seen before. Brother Gary, I'm going to give you three emphases about the Father's heart. Brother Jason leaned in and said, Brother Derek, it's early. Take your time. Everybody look up here. I'm an evangelist. We ain't got any sense. We can't tell time. But I will give you what God gave me. Three emphases about the Father's heart. Look at verse 20 in Luke 15. The Bible said, and he arose and came to his father. Know this, Brother Joy, but when he was yet a great way off, his father, I got this underlined, his father saw him. I want you to write this down. I see something about the look that was in the father's heart. I see something about the look that was in the father's heart. Matter of fact, he said, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Is anybody glad on a Wednesday night in Revival Fire Revival? Is anybody glad that the God of heaven is not blinded where you are? He's not unaware of where you are. You say, but Derek, you don't know my lifestyle. Derek, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my background. You don't know my past. Can I preach to somebody? There's a God in heaven that is looking your way. I see the look that was in the Father's heart. Brother Joe, if you would look with me, I am glad that God is not blinded. He's not unaware. He knows where I am. And this indicates to me when I begin to put two and two together. Would you agree with me that this father, he was looking the boy's way? Matter of fact, Brother Jason Hutchell, it indicates to me it was not a coincidence. It indicates to me it was not an accident. The father saw him a great way off. He saw him way away, coming down the road. And someone asked me the other day, said, Derek, what do you really believe? I don't believe the father went to the porch and looked down the road and said this, wow. That's my son, and I'm shocked he's coming home. I don't believe, Brother Dave, that he looked down the road and he said, I cannot believe my boy's coming home. I believe that the father regularly looked down the road. I believe the father consistently, intently was looking down the road. You say, Brother Derek, I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about. You really don't know me. You really don't know what I'm going through. But can I tell you, there's a father that is looking your way. I see the look that was in the father's heart. Now, give me about 5 minutes, and I'll promise you, I'll preach in a minute. So he was purposely looking, intently looking, constantly looking, regularly looking down the road for the prodigal to come back home. Brother Mike Hutchell, God's dealing with man has never been a coincidence. God's dealing with man has never been an accident. God, since the beginning of time, God has been coming up with ways to deal with man. God has been coming up with ways to reach fallen man. God has been thinking of ways that he could get to man. Hey, I don't know about you. I'm glad tonight that God's dealings was on purpose. I'm glad that God's dealings was intentional. Now hold up. Brother Derek, could you dig out that a little further? Brother Jason Hutchell, this was not God trying to make the best of a bad situation. This was not God trying to fix a bad situation. This was God before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Brother Joey, Calvary was premeditated in the mind of an eternal God. Calvary was not an accident. Calvary was not a coincidence. Calvary was on purpose.
Now, I'm going to shout, and I will in a minute. You say, Derek, I don't understand. What do you mean about Calvary? Calvary was known ahead of time. Before man ever messed up in the garden. Before time ever ticked. Before Eve ever partook and gave to Adam, and Adam partook. You say, what are you trying to tell me? This is where I want to shout. Before you ever had a problem, God had a solution. Before you ever, y'all didn't hear me. I said, before you ever was in the honky-tonk, before you were ever in that bad place, would you agree with me? God had a plan for your life. So I see the look that was in the Father's heart. Now, I asked the Lord, I said, how could I make that a little simpler? Here's what He gave me, Brother Mike Cutsell. The Son, I said, I was going to shout, and I'm on the verge. The Son had lost sight of His Father. But the Father kept a watchful eye on the Son. The Son, this is where it got good to me. The Son had forsaken the Father. But the Father had never forsaken the Son. The Son had forgotten about His Father. But would you agree with me? The Father couldn't get the Son out of His heart. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, could I say this in this passage? And here's what God said. I said, God, what do you think about the text? And He began to deal with me. And He said this to me, Jason. He said, listen, the servants wasn't looking for that boy to come back. The elder brother wasn't looking for him to come back. But there was a father that was looking for the baby boy to come back. You say, Derek, do you believe God is standing on the eternal porch, looking down the road of my life, believing that this could be the night that I come back? I believe there's a God tonight looking down the road, believing this could be the night that you come home. I see the look that was in the Father's heart. Now, I'm already on point number two. I cannot believe how fast I'm preaching. Number two, I see the look that was in the Father's heart, number two. I see the love that was in the Father's heart. I see the love that was in the Father's heart. Matter of fact, don't miss the text. He saw him a great way off. Didn't note the line in verse 20. And then it said this, and when he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him. Watch this, Brother Darren. And had compassion. Had compassion. He loved us. He saw us. And while we were coming, let me ask you a question. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to know. Joey, I wonder how church people would have received this boy. Now, I lost my manners, Brother Joel. I wonder how you and I would have received this boy. I'm not nervous, but I believe some of us, maybe even me, would have slammed the door on that prodigal. Would have said, I cannot believe you squandered the living. I gave you my inheritance and I gave you opportunity. And you went out and you left the house and you broke your heart and you broke me and your mama's heart. And you went out there and sold your wild oats and you did stuff that we're embarrassed about. And I can, he could have done that. He could have slammed the door, David Brewer, on the boy and said, the audacity of you to come home. And I know you know this. Some of us would have said, I cannot believe you did that. And yet ye without sin cast the first stone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How would you have treated this boy? But would you look at how the Father, would you look at how the Father responded? Would you know that when the Father saw him a great way off, he jumps off the porch and he runs toward his son. Brother Gary, instead of pushing him away, he jumps on him and hugs him. If you agree with that, shout amen. And I said, God, that's wonderful. But here's where I begin to think about you and I. And I thought about me as a sinner when I was 13 years old in a little Free Will Baptist church. And I walked an aisle and I buried my head. And I said things like this. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I need grace. I need your love. I need you to forgive me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I came to the Father, he embraced me. He hugged me. He kissed me with the kisses of his mouth, and he drew me in. He didn't push me away. Is anybody glad on a Wednesday night the Father not only looked your way, the Father loves you? The look and the love that was in the Father's heart. Let me give you two principles about the love that was in the Father's heart. And I know you know all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. They're extended. How do you know? How do you know the Father loves this boy? I think I just covered it, but I'm going to give you the application by the actions of this Father. Now, you say, Derek, I don't want to be confusing. How many of y'all would agree that this Father, when you study the passage, Brother Jason Hutchell, the Father didn't say a word. But he jumps off the porch. And he ran toward him. Then he jumps on him. Brother Mike brought that kissing spirit in this house. He said, I smelled good. This big man needs some sugar right now. Now everybody looking for, I know what the Bible says, greet your brother with a holy kiss. But I ain't going to smack him on the lips.
Praise God.
Man, Jason's almost a shout right there. I'll tell you, when the Father ran toward him, when the Father jumps on him, and when the Father takes his lips, everybody look up here. Would you agree that boy that's been in the pig pen has mud on him? He's got manure on him. Oh yeah, I lost my manners. He's got gnats swarming his head. He's got flies all the way around him. And the Father ran toward him. And the Father jumps on him. And they fall to the ground. And the boy is thinking, my God, my daddy loves me. And then the Father took his lips and kissed him. Now hold up. I can tell. You say, why did you kiss Jay? Because that's what the Father did. The Father kissed his boy that was living wrong and walking wrong. But when he comes back home to get things right, the Father runs to him, embraces him. Everybody look up here. And would you agree with me? The boy didn't need to hear one word from his father. The actions of his father told him that he's loved. The actions of the father made him know his father loved him. Whoa! That's what revival does. You can't even shout. I'm going to have a designated shouter. Say, Brother Derek, you can't do that. That's a Free Will Baptist church. That's what's wrong with y'all. Y'all so scared to shout. Y'all make me nervous. Hey, babe, I want to tell you something. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Would you agree with me? The actions of the Father spoke clearly. He was loved by His Father. If you agree, shout amen. Now I'm going to give you this and I got to go. Have y'all heard this? This is the evangelist coming out of me, Brother Jason. Have you heard this in the church? I just love the church. You call revival and they don't come to one service. This is going real good, huh? Joey, you hear this. I just love the church. 6 months later, they don't even go to church. I lost my manners. Can I tell you, if you really love the Father, you'll not forsake the assemblings together of yourself. You'll go to church. You want to be in church. You want to worship God in church. You're not hearing me. Your actions will tell the world that you love God. Hey, baby, I don't have to tell anybody I love God. The way I live speaks volumes whether or not I love God. My faithfulness tells the world that I'm devout, I'm saved, and I want to be faithful. Hey, the least you can do is go to church. The least you can do is have a prayer life. The least you can do is be faithful to the house of God. Now, I see the actions. Here's the second little wonderful principle about the love that was in His heart. I want you to write this down. Not only do I see the actions of the Father, I see the divine interruption. Write that down. The divine interruption. The Son had rehearsed His speech. He had said, Brother Joey, look with me. We'll go back in time. We'll look at verse 18. He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before Thee. Look at verse 19. And say, and am no more worthy to be called Thy Son. Make me, I got it underlined, make me as one of Thy hired servants. Now, everybody look back up here. When the Father has come to the Son, and now the Son finally gets to speak in verse 21. Matt, look what he says in verse 21. And the Son, when the Son has rehearsed His speech of what He's going to say to His Father. I just read it to you in verse 18 and 19. In verse 20, Darren, He finally gets to talk. And He said, and He arose and came to His Father. But when He was yet a great way off, he ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. And the Son, here it is. And the Son said unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called Thy Son. Do you see, He did not say that last thing that He had said earlier in the passage when He said, I am no more worthy to be called Thy Son. Make me as one of Thy hired servants. He didn't get the last part of His rehearsed prayer out. In verse 22, the Bible said, but the Father said to His servant. You say, Derek, I don't get it. Joey, the Father interrupts the Son. Whoa! While the boy's trying to make it right, and the boy's trying to say, Daddy, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And he's going to say, make me a hired servant. Before he could get that out, the Father butts in. The Father speaks up. Is anybody glad when you were trying to make it right and you were trying to do right? Aren't you glad the Father gave a divine interruption? And He said this, get the best robe and put it on Him. Put a ring on His finger and shoes on His feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to eat and be merry. We're going to have a party at the Father's house. The divine interruption. Now, if I was sitting where you're sitting, I think I'd at least say, amen.
Now, I'm not done. Here's the best part of the whole message. Pastor Jason, you know this is true. The son thought he could atone for the wrong he had done by becoming a mere servant. Joey, he thought he could make up for his wastefulness and his rebellion against his father. Brother Mike Hutchell, I studied the word atonement. It means at one mint. The boy's trying to atone for the wrongs he's done. Daddy, I don't even want to be called a son. Just make, and he doesn't even get it. He's rehearsed it earlier. Make me a hired servant. And the daddy said, son, listen to me. You can't make atonement. You can't make us one. You can't forgive us. You can't give forgiveness. You can't make redemption. You can't make this right. But if you'll come to me, I am the forgiver of sins. I am the one that can make at one mint, make us one. Y'all's not hearing me. Only I can redeem. Only I can wipe the slate clean. Hey, sir. Hey, ma'am. If you'll come tonight, he'll make it right. He'll forgive you. He'll redeem you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only God can do that. If you agree, shout amen. Now here's the sermon I said I would close. And you say, Derek, are you doing it? I'm already on point three. But I want to give you a truth, Pastor. If some man or woman raises their hand tonight, that will not forgive them. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I see the look that was in the Father's heart. I see the love that was in the Father's heart. The last one is very simple. And this is a big word. I see the lavishness. Hey, I like that. The lavishness that was in the Father's heart. The Father said to the servants, as he butts into the son's speech, and he said, get the best robe, get the ring, get the shoes, and the fatted cat, let's eat and be merry. We're going to have a celebration. My son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. He lavishes us. And he bestows on us his graces. And he bestows on us his mercies. Everybody look up here. Don't. You got to see this to get it. Most people are stingy. They're tight-fisted. God is open-handed. Did you hear the preacher a moment ago say total guilt and total grace? No, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God who commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everybody look up here. The word commendeth means to introduce, to approve. Everybody get this. God introduced his love. God approved his love. Even when you were messed up, he opened his hand to bless you. Anybody in here ever been on a plane for 20 hours? If you have, raise your hand. Oh, Lord God. Brother Butch, you'll amen this. I've been to the Philippines. Everybody, this is the truth. When you're in a jet, I ride coach. Well, why don't you ride first class? Because it's $8,000. I'm a $1,000 man. It cost me $1,000 to ride coach. Dave, here it is. I mean, I have lost some weight. Amen. This week I've gained some. Amen. Here's what you do on that jet, Hannah. You sit down, and there's a man over here, or a man over here, or a woman over here, man over here, just what it is. You're in the middle, and you're just like this. Joey, you can't lean like this because you're in their space. I don't know if y'all have noticed, I'm fidgety. I mean, I got to move, man. Put me in a jet and you can't do this. And I can't sleep. What do you do for 20 hours? I build sermons. Because all you got is time. But I got to thinking about God. I've always rode coach. I thought about first class, second class, and third class. In God's economy, there's no second class and third class. If you're washed in the blood, He's opened His hand and He's bestowed on you His grace. He's lavished you with His mercy. He's lavished you with His love. Is anybody glad for the lavishness of the Father? And Brother Jack, here it is and I'm done. When I think about God and how He lavishes me, and I think about my guilt and my wickedness and my sinfulness, and God wiped the slate clean, and I'm glad, Pastor, that when it came to my salvation, it wasn't up to the Free Will Baptist Financial Committee. We'd be in trouble. Now, God's been good to me. But when you think of the economy of God, He lavishes us with His grace and mercy. And there are two thoughts that I'll give you. I said I was done. I'll give you these two thoughts. And if I've went too long, blame it on Jason. He said, take my time. I'll give you two thoughts. I'll give you the robe. Matter of fact, I won't go into deep detail. The robe, there's something about the robe. They called it the best robe. Sister Karen, the best robe. It's in other words, the chief robe. The chief robe. In biblical days, a man of means or wealth or a position, a man of nobility, whether he be in the military or a political position, if he stepped into your house and he was somebody, they would put the best robe on them. It was not a cloak or a coat. It was the best robe. And they would drape it over you. And here's what they were telling the world. This is a somebody. When the prodigal came home, he's in tattered garments. He stinks. And when he comes in the house, the father said, I know y'all think he's a nobody, but he's a somebody. And I'm going to put the robe on him to tell the world, Joey, he's mine and he belongs to me. But Derek, will God do that to me? When you come back home, would you agree with me? He'll put a robe on you, signifying to the world, you are somebody. Here's the closing. There's something about the house. In Bible days, Brother Darren shared with me when he was in the Middle East that this is in their culture. If you were in Bible days or even to this day, Israel still believes in this custom. And I want you to hear this. When someone entered into your house, you had the responsibility to take care of them, to protect them, to feed them, to help them along. When you remember in the Old Testament, when Lot and the two angels came down and they came to Lot, and Lot told them to come into his house. And you remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the whole town was moved. And the Bible said they wanted to know them two men, angels. They wanted to know them. Everybody look up here. That wasn't to go to Brahms and get a hot fudge sundae. They wanted to know them in an abominable way. And so Lot brought them into his house. And he had the responsibility to take care of them. When the prodigal came home with tattered garments, and his belly was painted with hunger, as he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. when he came into the Father's house, he became the Father's responsibility. He didn't have to want for food anymore. He didn't want for love anymore. The Father was responsible. Can I tell you tonight, if you'll come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. He'll embrace you and hug you and kiss you. Stand all over the room, the heart of the Father.